Amen. Open your Bibles, if you would, to Psalm 103. Psalm 103. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for the opportunity you've given us this morning, Father. We pray this, Father, that this word, Lord, would go forth with power and anointing, Lord. Father, without it, Lord God, we fall flat. And Father, this morning, we don't want to walk through just another religious exercise, but Lord, we want something real, so we pray to the God above that has the power in your hand, Lord God, to do with this word, Father God, that that'll benefit our lives. And we ask it in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Folks, this morning, I think that all of us from time to time just need an opportunity perhaps to be reminded of things that are important to us. I know that many of you probably don't see this as much as, let's just say this. There are some people in the world that don't waste a whole lot of stuff, and there are other people in the world that waste a whole lot of stuff. Amen? I really believe this. I believe the culture that we live here in the United States, Americans are probably the most wasteful people in the world. Amen? I had a grandmother that grew up in the Depression, and she didn't waste anything. I'm telling you, you could go out into her storage barn, and she had every baby food bottle that she had ever bought in her whole life, washed out, cleaned out. She's going to use them one of these days. Every little plastic cup that cottage cheese or sour cream had come in, she saved them. She washed out her Ziploc bags and saved them. I'm not saying anything wrong with that. I'm just saying it's what she did. It's what she did. There are other people that we don't see the value in those cottage cheese containers. Throw them out. Are y'all there with me? I do, however, believe that sometimes that idea of waste kind of flows over into our spiritual lives as well. Because I'm telling you something, folks. We have got a lot of stuff that's been given to us by the Father who is sitting on high today. A lot of times I think we waste opportunities that he puts into our hands. And so this morning I want to read to you a little story about a woman who was, she was seated on a second story balcony, and she had gotten up to move towards the railing, and she lost her footing and she fell off of that second story balcony. And just so happened there was a slow moving garbage truck that was coming underneath her, and she fell right into the garbage truck. So here she is in the back of this garbage truck. She's half buried by all the litter that's inside of it. And she, without success, is trying to flag the driver, you know, get his attention so that she can get out. Well, all of this is happening as this, truck is driving by, and this woman's flailing around, half buried in the garbage, drives by one of these foreign dignitaries, you know, with the little flags on the front of their car, so on and so forth, and you know, from another country, completely different than the United States. And this foreign dignitary, this foreign diplomat, standing on the sidewalk, sees this go by, this woman in the back of this garbage truck. He looks at one of his people in his entourage, and he says, "See, there's another example of how wasteful Americans are. That woman looks like she's got at least 10 years left." So that brings me to my text this morning. Psalm 103, and I'm going to read the first five verses. Many of you are very familiar with this passage of Scripture. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all of your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." Now, folks, there's no doubt in my mind that all of you perhaps in this room live in the same world that I do. And that world oftentimes gets very, very hectic. I think sometimes we as individuals, we run, you know, from here to there, kind of almost endlessly, and sometimes in the midst of all of that chaos, I think there are some things that perhaps are very easy to overlook. And so that's what this whole message is about this morning. We use smartphones and calendars and them little stick-em notes. Anybody got any stick-em notes? Some people have little chalkboards on their refrigerators. And I mean, we've got a plethora of different ways that we remind ourselves of things. Amen? This morning, whenever I got up, I picked up my cell phone. First thing that's on my cell phone. Yeah, I'm going to tell you, these smartphones are kind of creepy. They're really kind of creepy. The other day, I came here to the church, and it says, whenever I'm leaving, it says, would you like to leave a comment about that church? And I said, yeah, the pastor's an idiot. And I, you know, it knows where you're at. But this morning I get up, and the first thing that's on my phone is something that I got to do tomorrow that I had calendared. I mean, we've got all of these devices that help us, these planners and calendars, because many times without them, we don't have any way to jog our memory. Amen? Sometimes we can't seem to remember what we're supposed to be doing or where we're supposed to be going or what it is that's happening in our lives. We're very, very quick sometimes to forget. And this morning, I just want to tell you, this is what I think. I think many times we are quick to forget the blessings that God has poured out upon us. Let me say that again. Sometimes I think we're really, really quick to forget the blessings that God has poured out on us. They say that fish have a 6-second memory. Now, I don't know how they time this, but they say that fish have a 6-second memory. So whenever a fish gets caught in a hook, you see, you could take that fish off and throw it back in the water, and 6 seconds later, you could catch that fish again. Because he goes, oh, a worm. Yeah. My jaw kind of hurting, but I don't know why. I mean, 6-second memory, all of his friends that see him get hoisted out of the water. Are y'all there? Bye, Leroy. We see you. 6 seconds later, they forgot about Leroy getting hoisted out of the water. 6-second memory. Now, I'll be honest with you. I think there's some things in our lives that perhaps a 6-second memory would be a real good thing. Amen? I think in the course of marriages, I think 6 seconds would be pretty good about the last fight that we had. Amen? Because some of us got a memory like an elephant whenever it comes to what we fought about last time. Amen? But this 6-second thing with fish, I'm kind of thinking to myself, you know, I think sometimes people are kind of like that. They see things that are bad, but oftentimes we just keep going over those things time and time again. I heard this saying one time that the only thing that we learn from history is that we don't learn anything from history. So, because of bad memory, the scripture here tells us, don't forget the benefits. Don't forget the benefits. 61 times in scripture, it talks about us forgetting things. Not to forget things or how we can forget things. 61 times. And I think the church needs to remember the benefits, so that whenever we get to heaven, the Lord won't have to say, I mean, have you ever thought about this? I mean, now, please don't misunderstand this. I think right at the very beginning, whenever we get to heaven, he's going to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Wait, you know, come into your glory, so on and so forth. But, you know, this is what I think. A few days after that goes by, whenever we're all just sitting down with coffee, you know, or I wouldn't be drinking coffee, but y'all drinking coffee, and Jesus is across from it. You know, have you ever thought about what he might say then? Something like this, maybe. Man, you know, all of the things I blessed you with, and you wasted so much of it. It's quiet in here. I mean, seriously. Here the Bible tells us, man, don't forget all of these things. Don't forget how God has blessed you. Don't forget all the benefits of being a child of the Most High God. Don't forget them. And yet I think sometimes we go through our life just charging forward 90 miles an hour and we forget about the access that we have to the throne. I think we forget about those very, exceedingly, very great and precious promises. I think sometimes we just go about our life and it's just like the word doesn't exist. It's like Jesus and the power that he has to bless us and keep us doesn't exist. And today I'm just saying, folks, we need to remember these benefits. We need to remember them. I think David was thinking of the goodness of God whenever he wrote this psalm. I mean, we're going to go over it kind of line by line, but let's look at what David says about it. Very first thing that he says is, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me." Okay, so that, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." You know what he's trying to say to us right there? He's saying that you and I need to be people of praise. Amen? I mean, we ought to have a heart that is full of praise every day. Every moment of the day, we ought to have a heart that's full of praise. David says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." Praise should be one of those integral parts of each and every one of our days. Now, don't misunderstand me, folks. I think sometimes we come together, we praise on Sunday, and praising on Sunday is a wonderful thing. But, folks, that's not enough. I'm telling you, just one time a week is not enough. Here in a few days, we've got Thanksgiving coming up, man. I mean, Thanksgiving. Let me just tell you something, folks. Ingles isn't responsible for feeding you. It is God who pours out those blessings. It is God. I mean, for us to be able to go down and to purchase the various items that's going to make this Thanksgiving dinner for us, we need to understand that for one thing, we are blessed in this nation to be able to do that. We're blessed. I can remember a few years back reading a kind of the saga of a missionary who him and his family were overseas during the course of Thanksgiving, and how that he was struggling to even go out and get a Thanksgiving meal, kind of, a Thanksgiving meal minus a whole lot of things. Somebody from the United States sent him a can of cranberry sauce. They found a turkey that was malnourished whenever it got butchered. But he said, man, we got so much to be thankful for in the United States. We got Thanksgiving coming up, and all of us here, we ought to be thanking God during the course of Thanksgiving. But that's not enough. You see, if we praise him on Sunday, if we thank him on Thanksgiving, we sometimes praise him whenever things are good. Have you ever done that? Have you ever praised him whenever things are really good, man? Whenever things are happening, and you go, wow, God, thank you for that raise. That was awesome, man. Thank you, God, for that miracle. Thank you, God. But folks, sometimes it's not enough to just do it on Sunday and Thanksgiving and when everything's going right. David says, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. And then he kind of throws something into it I think is interesting. He says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Now, what is David talking about there whenever he says, all that is within me? Does he mean that his liver ought to be praising the Lord? And both kidneys? And you see, what David's referring to here is something that's going on the inside of us that oftentimes we don't release during praise and worship. And that's our emotions. Our emotions are such an important ingredient of our praise and our worship. Does that make sense? Sometimes I think, and I'll be honest with you, there's been times in my life where I've gone completely through praise and worship, and emotions have never entered into it. Now, please don't misunderstand me. I'm not talking about you got to just go crazy, jumping around and flipping, doing somersaults and so on and so forth. But folks, you have to understand, whenever it is emotional, it's better. Are y'all there with me? I mean, so often we've got our sporting teams that we root for. I can remember times in my own life where I got real emotional over some sporting event. But understand, God's saying through David here, he says, bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me, bless his holy name. And he follows it up by this punctuation that I think you and I got to get a hold of this morning. David is blessing the Lord with his emotions, everything that is inside of him. And this is what I see of David. I think David is getting excited during worship. I think David is getting excited during praise. And obviously we have an example of David whenever they ushered in the Ark of the Covenant. The Bible says that David danced before the Ark of the Covenant with all of his might. He danced before the Lord. All of his might. I'm telling you, David was a sweaty little mess. See, David's emotions got involved in it. He got excited about praise and worship. Folks, I'm going to just say this. I believe that it is God's heartbeat for his people to get excited about worshiping him. I think it is his heartbeat for people to get excited whenever we praise him. I believe it is God's heartbeat for our emotions to enter into it. There's been times whenever my emotions have been very subdued and I've just wept during worship. I've just started bawling. For some, I don't know, my emotions are just in the midst of it. There's been times where, man, my emotions took over and I'm exuberant and I'm shouting to the Lord. But have you ever wondered about that? I mean, David starts this whole passage out. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And then he goes on, and we're going to get into this. He says, and forget not his benefits. Now, have you ever wondered why David just kind of like repeats himself in the first 1.5 verses of this psalm, and then he says, forget not his benefits? You see, one of the reasons why we praise is so that we can make God feel good. Amen? No, pretty much not. God's not going to feel any better than he feels today. Are y'all with me? He's perfection. See, we praise God. We praise God so as to make God feel mighty. No. Have you ever wondered why God wants us to praise him? Folks, it is not for God's benefit that we praise him. It is for our benefit that we praise him. It's all about us. Whenever we open our mouths and we start praising the majestic, wonderful, all-powerful God, it's about us. Let me just say something about praise. Praise produces benefits. You go, well, how's that? Folks, I want to tell you something. Whenever you praise God every day of your life for a peace that passes understanding, God, guard my heart, guard my mind, let peace rain down on myself. I want to tell you something. Whenever you really need that peace, you won't forget about it. You won't forget that it's available to you through God. Are y'all there with me? Whenever we praise God for his power, whenever we praise God for his steadfastness, whenever we praise God for his love, whenever we praise God because he took us up out of the miry clay. Are y'all there with me? It's so hard for us to forget about those benefits. So that's why David, he precedes this statement by saying, man, praise him with your emotions, praise him with everything that's in you, bless his holy name, and forget not his benefits. So let's look at a couple of these benefits. I mean, have you ever thought about perhaps being in a family that you weren't privileged to be born into? Let me just give you, like, a rich family. I was told about some young person the other day that they have a fairly wealthy family, and they set aside a trust fund for this young man so as it during the course of his life he can draw funds off of this trust fund. And I began to hear about all the vehicles and motorcycles and stuff this guy had, and I thought, what a punk. My parents have never even considered setting aside a trust fund for me. I think actually this trust fund came from a rich, are wealthy, let's say a wealthy grandparent. My grandparents never thought about setting, that's just a trust fund aside for me. And it hurts. Man, ever thought about living in a family of a billionaire? I mean a billionaire. Have you ever thought about living in a family of just a millionaire? A millionaire. I'm telling you something. I don't think I'd owe anything on my credit cards if they gave me a couple million to pay them off. I mean, the idea of the benefits of living with somebody wealthy is just crazy. But let's look at what it says our benefits are through this psalm. First benefit, he forgives all your iniquities. Can I just make sure we all understand something? That's more valuable than anything that you could possibly buy with that green dollar bill. Come on, folks. Now, for some of you that are sitting in this room, you go, man, Pastor, I'm going to tell you something. I haven't done a whole lot wrong in my life. I've been good for almost my whole life. I look at some of these young people down here. Never mind, I'll move past them. And so, I mean, think about it. Some of us haven't done, some of y'all haven't done a whole lot wrong, but man, there are people in this room that had a bucket load of sin. And this is what it says. He forgives all your iniquities. And again, I kind of want to go back to that. I want to go back to that 6 second fish memory. See, sometimes I think we forget this. I mean, to live free from guilt, to live free from sin, to live free from our past failures, to know that His mercy is renewed every time the sun comes up in the morning. Are y'all with me? I mean, sometimes I think we need to get out of bed in the morning and just thank you, Jesus, for your mercy. Thank you, Jesus, for your grace, man. You have forgiven me. You have redeemed me from the curse. Whoa, God, that's good news. I'm telling you, folks, we got such little tiny memories. We get saved and we go about our lives. And man, this is one of those things that is, this is huge. It's huge. I mean, to think to ourselves that I am a brand new creation in Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, behold, all things that are old have passed away. Man, that is a good word. Amen. You have become new. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. We got to get excited about that. I mean, just a moment ago, we sang a song that we are no longer slaves to fear. We're no longer slaves to Satan either. Salvation is the prime benefit that we need to remember. That's the prime benefit. He says, who forgives all your iniquities. In 1 Peter 2:24, it says, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness. And then it goes on to say, by whose stripes you were healed. Man, salvation is it. Salvation is that biggie. I believe that's why David put that at the very beginning. And forget not his benefits, who forgives all our iniquities. But he goes on one more benefit, and he reminds us of this amazing benefit called healing. He says, he heals, who heals all your diseases. Now, I like that word, and I went back into the Hebrew because this is Old Testament, and I've looked just to make sure that the translator of this text got it right. It says that, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. Are y'all understanding? That word's in there three different times. And I'm telling you, in the Hebrew, it means all. It means everything. All encompassing. It says that he will forgive all your iniquities. And I don't know about y'all, but there's been a time or two in my life whenever I've done something so stupid, I've done something so wrong that I thought, man, there's no way God can forgive me of this. Are y'all there with me? I've done that. But then this scripture, he says, man, I forgive all of your iniquities. And then he goes on and he says, I heal all of your diseases. I mean, this is a great blessing to have, that you and I can be healed by the supernatural ability of our God. Now, folks, again, our primary benefit is that all of our iniquities are forgiven. But this one here, we've got another great benefit following up this first one. We're all healed. Can I just ask, Coach, has anybody in here ever been sick? Has anybody in here ever been really sick? Yeah? But yet it says here that this second great benefit, he heals all of our diseases. I'm just thinking in my own life. Now, I'm not going to include any of you all in here with this, but I'm just thinking in my own life. I'm thinking in my own life that there's perhaps times that I have wasted this benefit. I said at the beginning of this, I think sometimes we're wasteful people. Sometimes, you know, people do things. This is the number one reason why people back away from God. Are y'all ready for this? I've seen it time and time again in my pastoral ministry career. I've seen people who have come to know the Lord. They may have come to know him for a short period of time, a long period of time. I don't really think it makes a whole lot of difference. But then they've done something that has, if you would, in their own mind, separated them from God. And instead of going to God, they go away from God. And pretty soon, they're not coming to church. Pretty soon, they're not answering the phone calls, the follow-up. Pretty soon, they just associate themselves with the fellowship of the brethren. And so, pretty soon, they've completely gone back into the world. And the reason being is because they thought, man, I've blown it so bad that God could never forgive me. Are y'all seeing what I'm saying? We waste the opportunity because God says, listen, I forgive all of your iniquity. All of it. If you've done something really stupid, come to me and I will forgive it. I will tell you, all of it I will forgive. And now this next thing, I believe we've wasted it as well. Your healing was purchased on a whipping post before your salvation was purchased. Jesus along the Via Della Rosa stopped along the way, was tied to a whipping post, and he literally was whipped for our healing. And as he came to the culmination where he stood on top of Golgotha, he was nailed to the cross, and that's where our salvation was purchased. His whipping took place earlier, and our healing was bought. I mean, but there's people that got this crazy idea. I'm not of this idea, but there are some people that think that healing is something that it's not supposed to be included in our lifetime today. They think with the early apostles or disciples that all of that went away whenever the last one died, and so divine healing is not for us. And I'm thinking to myself, man, that is a terrible place to be in, where you know that the only resources you have for healing in your body are from this place we live in right here. That an outside source, a supernatural divine source, cannot reach down and heal you. Folks, I got to tell you, if healing is not for us today, then that means salvation probably isn't for us today. In James 5:14, it says, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. Folks, this is what I mean, this is just me. This is me. I'm not going to include you in this, but sometimes I think we've learned how to call on the doctors so much quicker than we call on the name of the Lord. Sometimes I think we call on prescriptions. What that little magic pill can do. And please, don't get me wrong, I thank God for doctors. I thank God for prescriptions. But can I just say it kind of like this? I think sometimes we've got to get things in the proper order. Doctors should be our last resource. Our first choice should be God. And see, one of the reasons why I think sometimes it's not that way is because rarely, if ever, do we praise God for healing all of our diseases. David says, get excited about this, man. Praise the Lord. Praise Him with everything that's in you. Praise Him because He forgets all of your iniquities. Praise Him because He heals all of your diseases. I wonder who in this room would say to me, Pastor, just today, just yesterday, just Thursday and Friday, I've been praising Him every one of those days because He heals all of my diseases. I can tell you I'm not in that category. I'm not one that goes around saying, God, I praise you for this promise of by His stripes I am healed. I don't praise Him like that every day. But yet David is saying to us, guys, bless the Lord. Everything that's within you, bless Him. Because folks, I think whenever we praise Him for being our healer, He is apt to be our healer more often than not. I mean, folks, listen to this. If you are sick today, healing is a benefit for you. And this is what I'm saying. Don't waste it. Don't waste it. He goes on. He says, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction. Wow. I know all of you know this, but it just helps me because I need to say it. The devil would love to destroy you. He'd love it. I mean, have you ever wondered where all this crazy stuff comes from? The Zika virus? I mean, the Zika virus, this is a little mosquito that can kill you, man. AIDS and all of these various things that are out there, you understand that Satan has set this thing up as so as to destroy you. Folks, whenever people die of the Zika virus, you understand he's rubbing his hands together. So, man, I am it. I kill, steal, and destroy. That's my job description, is what the Bible tells us. He's a thief, and he comes but to steal. He comes but to kill. He comes but to destroy. I mean, man, the devil wants to destroy you. If he can't do it with the disease, you understand this, he's going to do it with depression. He's going to do it with fear. Let me just tell you something. Fear can destroy you. It can destroy you. It is bad for your physical health to walk around in fear all the time. And I mean, for heaven's sake, we got all kinds of craziness going on around us. We got people going into churches now and killing people. And I'm telling you, right here on 441, we could all just bundle up and be fearful and not come to church. But I'm telling you, that's not the way God designed us to live. He says, listen, I want you to understand, I can redeem your life from destruction. I mean, if the enemy can't make you fearful, he's going to make the economy so bad that y'all messed up in the economy. I've got a couple of little things here that talk about the economy. The economy is so bad, I was pre-declined for a credit card in the mail. Never mind. Economy's so bad, I ordered a burger the other day at McDonald's, and the kid behind the counter said, can you afford fries with that? I knew these weren't going to work, but I tried them anyway. The economy's so bad, the CEOs are now playing miniature golf. I like that one. I did. I like that one. I mean, have you ever thought about this? That you and I have very little problem remembering the bad news. I mean, seriously. We have very little problem remembering the bad news. And folks, if you don't believe that, just turn on the television for a little while and you'll be able to repeat back like a parrot what it was they said. And 99% of the stuff they tell you on television is bad news. It's bad news. And here David is saying, guys, listen to me. Bless the Lord. Bless him with all that's in you, man. Bless him. And don't forget about how an incredible God that he is and the benefits that he offers you. Oh, man, listen to this. He says, he will forgive all your iniquities. He'll heal all your diseases. And he will redeem your life from destruction. That's good news. That is good news. The enemy has more than once tried to ruin my life. He's come after me. Folks, I got to tell you, and I'm not saying this in a, I don't want you to feel sorry for me or anything like that, but I'm telling you, whenever you step into the ministry, there's a target put on your back. The last thing Satan wants you to do is do the things God wants you to do so as that you can lead other people to Jesus Christ. And you don't have to be in the ministry. You just understand this. Whenever you make up your mind to say, listen, I'm going to be a blowtorch for Jesus Christ. I'm going to let the light shine. There's a big old target being painted on your back. He's going to come after you. And not only is he going to come after you, he's going to come after your family. He's going to come after you. You know why? Because he hates you. I mean, we got people being caught in scandal. We've got diseases that are running rampant. I mean, folks, sometimes you think to yourself, man, is it even safe to go shopping? I mean, seriously, is it safe to go to Piggly Wiggly? I mean, man, if any place you ought to be safe, it should be a store with a name like that. I mean, for heaven's sake, is it even safe to drive down the road? Because there are people killed on 441. That's a very dangerous road out here in front of us. Let me just tell you something. The plans that Satan has for your life is destruction. He's planned for you. He's planned for you to get in traffic accidents. He's got all these plans. He wants to bring disease and destruction upon your life. He wants to ruin your kids. He wants to ruin your finances. He wants to ruin your emotions. He wants to put so much fear in you that you got to take medication so as just to feel halfway normal during the course of a day. I've debated whether or not to even tell you what this next line in my notes say. But I'm going to. Because Emily wants me to. Yeah. In the world that you and I live in today, I'm just going to say this. It is hard not to have fear and conflict on the inside of you. It's hard not to. It's hard not to have it. And we got to understand this. Peace is not the absence of fear. Peace is not the absence of conflict, but it's how we handle it. I'm going to tell you something, folks. I have complete peace this morning that I'm going to be okay. Come on now. I didn't drive in the parking lot of this church and think to myself, oh boy, what if we have one of those things like they had in Texas? And I think we need to be smart. Please don't misunderstand that. I think we need to take precaution. But it doesn't mean that you drive up the driveway and go, oh dear, this could happen. Whenever you put your child on the school bus, oh dear, this could happen. Whenever you get in your car, oh dear, this could happen. Are y'all with me? It's not the absence of fear. It's not the absence of conflict, but it's how you and I handle it. I mean, for heaven's sake, today I'm going to get in my car, I'm going to drive down 441 going home. And I could think to myself, oh man, there could be somebody veer out of their lane and hit me head on and I could die. But folks, this is the way I choose to handle it. But I am in God's hands. He is a holy and a mighty God. And he is able to keep that which he has put in his hands. He is God. And folks, it's like this. I mean, I used to threaten my kids with death all the time. So you better stop that or I'll kill you. And the fourth one comes along and he's the only one that's ever done this. The other three have been scared I was going to kill them. But Caleb, I'm joking. They weren't scared I was going to kill them. It was a joke. I told Caleb one time, I'm going to kill you. He said, that's all right. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. So it's okay with me. He took away all of my power of death. See, folks, it's kind of like this, man. Even if something does happen to me, I promise you this, I'm going to win. I'm going to win. I mean, I get taken out of this world, I am going to be standing in the presence and the majesty of the Most Holy God. It's all how you deal with it. It's not about being in a place where there is no fear, a place where there is no conflict. It's all about how you handle it. A few years ago, there was a song that came out. It says, don't worry, be happy. Do, 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 do. It's a great little tune that I didn't get anywhere close to being. But you know, Jesus preached his Sermon on the Mount, and during the course of the sermon, he preached this thing called the Beatitudes. And you know, that's really the whole theme of the Beatitudes, is don't worry, be happy. And Jesus says, 25, he says, Jesus said that you have a heavenly Father that knows you and will take care of you. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you. You see, we've got a God who redeems our life from destruction, and that is a praise of the Lord. It says he forgives all your iniquities, heals all your diseases, he redeems your life from destruction. And then this next one is really cool. He says, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. He crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. And that doesn't really mean that he's crowning you with tender mercies and loving kindness. It means that that's the way he's putting a crown on you. He's putting a crown on your head with loving kindness and with tender mercies. And the one thing that you and I have to figure out somewhere along this pathway is that we are no longer paupers, but we have been made princes of God. Come on, folks. We have been made royalty. Who crowns you with loving kindness? Who crowns you with tender mercies? God wants you and I to understand that we reign. We reign. We are people who are royal. We are a royal priesthood, is what the Bible tells us. And we got to figure out that somewhere along in our lives that we got to saddle up to this idea that we reign, that we are people who reign. God has crowned us with loving kindness. He has crowned us with his tender mercies. And he wants us to understand that we reign in this life. We've been kicked around a lot. And I think it's time that we start doing our own kicking around. And now, please don't misunderstand me. That doesn't mean our brothers and sisters in Christ. We can't go to them. Pastor said, kick you around, so I'm going to. No, 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 no. What we need to understand is we've got to start giving it back to the devil. Y'all understand what I'm saying? I mean, we reign. And what? Okay, I just got to go ahead and read it. It says, this is Luke 10:19. It says, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions. Now, that whole right there, I don't need to say any more, okay? I said enough. But this next part, I want us to all get a hold of, okay? It says, I've given you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Now, that one there, you and I get it. That first one, scorpions and serpents, we're... Okay, that's enough being said on that. But now this next part, he says, and I've given you this power over all the power of the enemy, or all the authority of the enemy. He says, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. You see, I think the church needs to begin to take back the authority that we've been given. I mean, the Bible tells us that the authority that was given Satan, and please don't misunderstand this, Satan has authority. God gave him authority. God said, man, this planet right here, you rule and reign this planet. But then Jesus came and he said, no. He said, I'm telling you what, Satan. He said, I'm empowering my church, my bride, to rule and reign now. But this is it, folks. I'm telling you that many times in our own homes, in our own families, in our own ministry, our own schools, our own communities, we allow Satan to have the power to rule and reign. Whenever the whole time, he's kind of a paper dragon. Are y'all there with me? We have the power. Listen to me. We have the power over the power of the enemy. That's what it says. I've given to you, I've delegated this authority, this power over all of the authority of the enemy. I mean, go to the Dollar General, Dollar Tree, wherever you want to go, and get you one of them. Go to Burger King and just say, I want one of them crowns you got. Because see some of y'all going, I don't want to have to spend a buck. Just go to Burger King, take a little kid with you. Some of y'all will volunteer. Okay, and I mean, Morgan, you would, wouldn't you? Just for a free hamburger? Yeah, okay, so take Morgan and you just get you a crown. You go to the mirror, you put that crown on, and you just need to talk yourself into saying, man, I am royalty for heaven's sake. I'm royalty. And royalty, do you know what royalty does? Royalty reigns. Royalty reigns. Royalty rules. Amen? Let me tell you something. We're going to get a good dose of this whenever we get to heaven, because Jesus, the King of Kings, it says all power, all authority has been given unto him. He will rule forever and ever. Amen. And you and I got to get a hold of that. We need to look at ourselves and say, listen, I am a joint heir with Jesus Christ. And we got to remind ourselves, I think sometimes we need to remind the devil that he's a defeated foe. Whenever he comes against our finances, you just say, listen, man, I know it's you, Satan. You're throwing a monkey wrench into my finance, but in the name of Jesus, the name that is above every name, and because my God is my provider, his name is Jehovah Jireh, by the way, you are defeated. You can come against my finances, but it's not going to work. You're defeated. I'm a son of the Most High God. I'm a daughter of the Most High God, and you will not defeat me. We got to remind him of that. Some of y'all are going, I'm never going to talk to Satan like that. Let me tell you something. We need to talk to Satan like that. We need to remind him, because in reminding him, it reminds us who we are. The Lord has crowned us. And so many times, we let circumstances get the best of us. Have you ever been there? I'm never going to be able to make rent this month. My car broke down and my dog broke down and that cat I had, he ran off. I don't know what I'm going to do. And we elect. Now, folks, don't misunderstand me. I think there's about that much time we should devote to something like that. But then we got to say, no, wait a minute. I'm a prince, for crying out loud. I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ. I mean, I love that last song we said, because it says that we've been adopted. We've been brought in through our salvation. We've been adopted into a brand new family. We got to say, man, my heavenly Father is God who sits upon the throne, who created all there is to create, and I'm his son. Hallelujah. So what if I can't make the rent? My Father can. All I got to do is get on the phone with him. Come on. But so often we allow circumstances to dictate who we are. We've been crowned. No matter the circumstances, we are more than conquerors, the Bible says. I love that. I love that the Bible doesn't just say we're conquerors. It goes a little further than that. It says, man, we're more than conquerors. And have you ever thought about this? Have you ever thought about how that you can be more than a conqueror? You see, whenever somebody taps out, you've conquered them. Yeah? But it says, no, you go a step further than that. I think what happens is whenever somebody taps out, you get to kick them one more time. Whenever the ref says, nope, stop fighting, he's tapped out, you just go, never mind. I mean, how do you be more than a conqueror? That's what God says we are. It doesn't say we are just conquerors. It says we're more than conquerors. We are more than victorious through Christ Jesus, who gave us his blood so that we might walk in this freedom. I mean, folks, all of us in this room are going to have fights from one time or another. We're going to have those fights. But we can't allow ourselves to be defeated. Can I just tell you how you and I are going to be defeated? This is how we're going to be defeated. Now, I'm talking to believers. I'm talking about somebody got Jesus Christ living on the inside of you. Says the power that is on the inside of us is the same power that raised Christ from the dead. Big time power is what it's saying. So the only way that you and I are going to be defeated is if we allow him to defeat us. But now, I'm looking at y'all, and some of y'all look real passive. I mean, I get some young people down here that are just so sweet and so nice. Think about it. The only way that you're going to conquer, the only way that you're going to come out victorious is you have to get in the fight. Sometimes I just don't believe there's enough fight in Christians. I really mean that. You got an unsaved loved one at home? You know what you need to be doing? You need to be fighting. You need to get in the fight. You need to say, Satan, you've had them for long enough, buddy. I'm fixing to not only conquer, but I'm going to more than conquer. Yeah, that's right. I'm going to kick you 3 or 4 times after the ref says to quit kicking you. I'm going to have my loved ones. If he's in your finances, if he's in your health, you need to roll up sleeves and say, listen, I'm ready for a fight. I'm ready for a fight. You cannot conquer without a fight. And that's why we've been given this authority over the authority of the devil. The scripture says nothing, absolutely nothing, absolutely nothing by any means shall hurt you. But I will tell you this, and I'm going to go back to it time and time again. There is a danger in forgetting the benefits. That's what David says. He says, and please don't forget the benefits. He forgives all your iniquity. He heals your disease. He redeems you from destruction. He's crowned you for heaven's sake. He's made you royalty with his loving kindness and his tender mercies. Psalm 78, 41 and 42, it says, yes, again and again they tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. Man, they did not remember his power the day whenever he redeemed them from the enemy. You see, this psalm is about Israel forgetting the benefits of serving God. Moses was this guy that led the children of Israel right up to the very border, literally, the River Jordan, fixing to cross them over into the promised land. But he sent in these 12 spies. He says, guys, I want you to go across the Jordan. I want you to look at the promised land that God's fixing to lead us into. And he said, I want you to come back with a report. And these 12 spies went out, and they had their binoculars. They had their spotting scopes. And, man, they went to city after city after city. And they looked, and they came back. And 10 of the spies, 10 of the 12 spies, this is what they said. They said, there's no way. Those folks are big, they're mean, they got big fortified cities. There's no way we could ever go in there. Look at all you wimps. There's no way with all you wimps we're going to be in there. Go get these big, strong guys out of the... And two of them, Joshua and Caleb, by that way, they stood up and they go, what are you talking about? Yeah, they're big, but God said it's our land, so we just need to go in there and get it. Let me read that scripture again. Psalm 78, 41. It says, yes, again and again they tempted God and they limited the Holy One of Israel. Folks, let me tell you something. Whenever you and I forget the benefits, whenever you and I are going through life and we don't understand and know these benefits that are associated with our salvation, I tell you that we are just like them. They tempted God and they limited the Holy One of Israel. They did not remember his power from the day whenever they redeemed him, whenever he redeemed them from the enemy. 10 of them forgot. 10 of them forgot that he had already said, I have given you the promised land. He didn't say, I'm going to give it to you. He said, I've given it to you. It's yours. It's yours. Let me just tell you, he's given you healing. He's given you salvation. He's given you a crown on your head. And he has assured you that he will protect you from anything the enemy might throw at you. They didn't enter because they limited God. As I said, Joshua and Caleb were the only ones that said, we can go in. This sixth one is interesting. He says, he redeems you from destruction, who crowns your life with loving kindness and tender mercies. And this is what it says, who satisfy your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. So that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Now, for some of you young guys like Clay, for heaven's sake, Clay, you've never been sore a day in your life. Okay. But I find myself being sore and sore more often. Yesterday, I got my chainsaw out, and I was chainsawing. Man, I was doing some serious chainsawing. I mean, I was cranking on that saw, sawing, and this morning, whenever I got up out of bed, and I thought to myself, I said, self, why is myself's back hurting like it is? Because I was feeling this muscle just kind of, it was one of those chainsaw muscles. Are y'all with me? Now, folks, I got to tell you, man, when I was like 21, 22 years old, and after that, it was all downhill. But when I was like 21, 22, I didn't feel any chainsaw muscles in my back. Can I just really be serious with you for a moment? Not talking about chainsaws or anything like that. But there are times in my life to where I just literally come to the place where I do not believe I can go any further. And when anybody look at me and go, oh, I feel so sorry for you, Pastor. Sometimes there's just a lot on my plate. And sometimes I just come to a place where I'm just tired. I'm just tired. However, in those moments, it always seems like I've got something else to do. You know what I'm saying? It just always seems like I got something else to do. I'd really love for those moments to come where I just feel like I cannot go on. And I don't have to. You know, you just get there. You just go, I can't go on. I don't have to. You plop down. Unfortunately, I think some of y'all can identify with what I'm talking about. There's just one more duty. There's just one more job. There's just one more thing you got to do. And now, I will tell you that there comes times in our lives where we cannot depend on our own physical strength to get things done. We just cannot do it. We just got so many things on our plate, and there's so many things that we've already taken off our plate, but there's still a lot of things on our plate, and we just come to a place where we are wore out. And we know that next week it ain't going to get any better because I've looked at the calendar, and it's just going to be this way. But this word here, it says, he's going to satisfy your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like eagles. It's this hectic world we live in. So, let's talk about the eagle for a little bit. I mean, have any of y'all ever seen a tired eagle? I never have. I went on the internet and I looked for tired eagles. I was going to get you a picture and put a tired eagle up there. I thought, you know, one of these eagles has got a lot on his plate. You know, having to feed the kids, take care of the wife, pay the car payment, build a house, the whole nine yards. Are y'all with me? I figured I'd find some old, you know, male bald eagle just all sloped over, you know, just tired. I thought, that would be perfect. I didn't find it. And so I started looking about, you know, this, because he says he's going to renew our youth like an eagle. And I'm thinking to myself, man, I'd have been out yesterday and I'd have been 21 years old. I would not have gotten out of bed slowly this morning. Now, I pretty much worked it all out, about 50% of it, and I'm okay. But just think about it. What if our youth could be renewed like an eagle? The eagle renews its life by breaking away a buildup on its beak. Now, go with me, because this is scientific, and I know this is surprising coming from me. It renews its life by breaking away the buildup on its beak. And that buildup keeps it from eating and growing stronger. As an eagle grows older, its beak begins to grow, and a buildup of scar tissue from cracks and scratches forms on its beak. This buildup begins to limit the ability of the eagle to open its beak wide enough to eat properly. So here's the eagle. It's going up in age. Now you have to understand, eagles don't live just a few days. Eagles live up to 100 years. Okay? And so what they find is in their lifetime, this beak thing starts happening. And I'm telling you, I looked in the mirror and I thought, you know, my nose is longer than it was whenever I was 20. And this morning, whenever I got here, I started looking around at y'all and I thought to myself, they've got it too. Okay. Okay, now, that's totally off the subject. But this eagle has this scar tissue from all the various things that it's done with its beak. This buildup begins to build on its beak, and it cannot feed itself properly. So this is what the eagle does. The eagle goes out, he finds a rock or a hard surface, and he begins to beat the end of his beak. Nobody do that, okay? All right. Begins to beat the end of its beak until it finally breaks away the buildup. All right, so this scar, this buildup on its beak finally breaks off. It says, then the beak grows back in its correct proportion, and the eagle is able to eat again. Okay, so this eagle goes through this process where it's losing weight, it's losing energy, it cannot do what it used to do, and it says, it's my beak, I got to take care of this. And so it goes and finds a rock, it starts beating a beak against, so finally it comes off, and the Lord has prepared this process where it regenerates and a whole new beak again. And the strength and the vigor returns, and it becomes like a young eagle again. I just thought that was something amazing, because I did not know that's what that scripture meant. As I said, some eagles live in excess of 100 years. And it goes through this process many times during the course of its 100 years. A lot of times whenever we go through suffering, a lot of times when we go through very difficult and trying situations and circumstances in our lives, whenever we go through things that seem to weigh us down, the Lord says, I'll come alongside of you. Because I don't know about y'all, but sometimes this isn't something that a vacation can take care of. You just feel that weight. You just feel that tiredness on your body. You feel that tiredness on your emotions. The Lord has this way, supernaturally, this process of breaking away those scar tissues, those things that you and I piled up in our hearts during the course of just living our lives. And it says that our youth is renewed like the eagles. And I thought to myself, wow, my back's not going to hurt after chainsawing. But I'm not so sure that's exactly what the scripture means. Because I think whenever you get a little bit older, there's just ways you should probably do things slower. I'm learning. See, folks, I think a lot of times
what God does with this process is he just helps us to be able to enjoy the good things of God so much more full, if that makes any sense. This morning, I'm going to ask Jared to come and help me close this, and I got to be right here. Don't forget the benefits. I mean, sometimes I think we can do just the opposite, and we can say, wow, serving God, it just takes so many good things away from me. I can't go fishing on Sunday mornings. I can't catch some of those fish that have a 6-second memory. On Wednesday nights, I'd like to stay home and watch whatever there is to watch on TV, but I come to church. See, a lot of times we do that. We say, well, all of these things, God, serving God, it takes them away from us. But in the same breath, you and I got to acknowledge that he forgives our iniquities. He heals our disease. He redeems us from destruction, and he crowns us with tender mercies and loving kindness. And he fills our mouth with good things so that our youth is renewed, even as the eagle's youth. God has given us great benefits. Great benefits that come with serving him. And this is one of those Zig Ziglar little sayings. Some of you are familiar with Zig Ziglar. What a name. This guy was a public speaker, went all over the world preaching a positive message of Christ Jesus and how to live positive. And this is what he coined. He said, have an attitude of gratitude. Have an attitude of gratitude. And this morning, this sermon is simply meant to be a reminder to all of us that his benefits are great. Man, it is a good thing to be his kid. Amen.